But just a reminder of something I said yesterday, which is that you can use the other practices. Yeah, they're all in service of the same aspect and quality. So there could be the question, well, why are we doing another one? It can be at certain times this is more helpful. It may be more helpful in certain circumstances, so like at certain times. It may be more helpful for certain people. Yeah. And if you remember that we're actually a community, not one individual thing that remains the same through all moments, then sometimes we'll show up in a different way and a different practice will be really the right thing for us, a really helpful way of unfolding. So if we bring our mind back and just recall that occasionally practicing with anicca, you know, the arising, passing of experiences of sensations, thoughts, feelings, and seeing, they're transitory, they're actually transitory. There may be something open, something released, you know, something softened, something changed in the relationship. You know, a little bit more freedom came in, okay? Maybe not every time, but maybe sometimes that happened. Same kind of thing with the noticing the Vedana. It's like, there's this kind of pull to react in a certain way, and actually, I have possibilities, I have freedom, I have ways of being. And so, still so much to explore in each of these practices, so might want to certainly return to them at some point, might want to stay with them today. But we could also just take the insights from that. Yeah. So, that worked. That worked. So the satisfaction wasn't in the thing. Wasn't in the thing. Maybe it's in the way of relating to that thing. And so what we're talking about today is just jumping into this sense of actually saying, there isn't satisfaction in things. There isn't lasting satisfaction in things. Yeah? We don't need to project that onto them. And that might be feeling like that's a lot of responsibility for something to hold. So in a moment, I'm going to ask Zohar just to explain that point that we made about the difference between satisfaction, dissatisfaction, and unsatisfactory. Yeah? But first of all, I just want to give you an example of something I think might help us to kind of understand it. So I know that there's this kind of habit in Israeli culture that, you know, if people do their military service or not, and then at the end of that, they tend to go traveling. Yeah? It's kind of like a common pattern that many people go through. And India is one of the places that people go to. Maybe South America or somewhere else, you know, it's like something different is looked for. And this fascination of being in a different place, in a different culture, and something opens up and we see different ways of relating to life, you know, some of which are amusing, some of which are challenging, some of which, you know, are touching. And in India, you can get these fruit drinks. Yeah, some of you may remember, I can't remember what they're called, like Mango Jump or Mango Fruity or there's things like this. And if you look at the bottle, it says on it, does not contain fruit. And you're drinking this fruity drink. He said, this does not contain fruit. And it's like, I'm tasting fruit. I'm feeling like there's fruit. But this does not contain fruit. Seems absurd thing to say, you know. And here I am, having a happy experience, feeling really satisfied from this delicious food. And then we say, this does not contain satisfaction. The question remains, where's that fruitiness coming from? Where's that satisfaction coming from? It's not coming from the drink. It's not coming from the thing. Okay? So maybe let's hear the difference between unsatisfactory, satisfactory, dissatisfactory. One second.
אני חושבת שאחד האתגרים כאן זה שאין לנו בדיוק את אותם מילים בעברית. אז יותר חשוב ככה להתחבר למשמעות מאשר להבדל במילים. אז satisfaction, אנחנו, אני חושבת כולנו מבינות, זה תחושה של סיפוק, או במילים שהשתמשנו בהם עד עכשיו, או זה החוויה שלנו שמייחסת את הסיפוק, מייחסת את האושר, את הרווחה לדבר. וזה הדימוי הזה כאן של המשקה, אני חושבת מאוד עזר, שהפרי הוא במשקה, ובעצם האם. השאלה שלנו זה האם, או אולי אפשר לדייק את זה ולהגיד רק בדבר. הסיפוק, או השמחה, או האושר, הם רק בדבר. רק בזה שהטמפרטורות יעלו קצת יותר, או רק בחברות הזאת, או רק באוכל הזה, או רק בחוויה המדיטטיבית הזאת. כאילו זה רק שם. אז הסיפוק זה ה-satisfaction. המילה dissatisfaction אומרת לא מספק. זה כאילו נגיד, זה לא מספק, וזה לא מה שאנחנו אומרות. אנחנו אומרות unsatisfactory, אומרת שהסיפוק הוא לא רק כאן. הסיפוק הוא לא רק שם, הוא לא תמון, הוא לא חלק אינהרנטי, חלק נבדל, חלק ייחודי, מהמהות של הדבר עליו אנחנו מסתכלות ומסתכלים. I might just be confusing them all.
Yeah, I think dissatisfaction pulls the satisfaction out of the experience. Mm. So I don't know if law is just to say it isn't there, but it's actually the opposite of...
I think you said it really clearly yesterday. I'm just kind of emphasizing that... you're listening to me and you're following.
No.
Okay.
I was just aware that to say it's not satisfactory is not the same as to say... dissatisfied.
Yeah, I think I covered that, but I'll say it again to satisfy you. The satisfaction is definitely not in the translator. הסיפוק הוא בהחלט לא במתורגמנית. אז ככה נייתן רוצה שאני אדגיש שכשאנחנו אומרות dissatisfaction, אנחנו כאילו אומרות שכאילו אנחנו מוציאות את הסיפוק מהדבר, כאילו הוא לא קיים שם בכלל, וזה לא אומר שהדבר לא יכול לתת לנו סיפוק. זו הנקודה החשובה. אנחנו יכולות לשמוח בדברים שאנחנו אוהבות, אנחנו יכולות לשמוח ביופי, כן, אנחנו יכולות לשמוח במה שמיטיב בעולם, אנחנו יכולות לשמוח במה שמשחרר, לא רק יכולות, חשוב גם שנעשה את זה. אבל ההבדלה הזאת בין לייחס, כן? לייחס את הסיפוק, לייחס את היופי, לייחס את האושר, את הטוב רק לדבר, לבין להבין שזה במערכת היחסים, כן? או בדרך ההסתכלות, כן? אפילו עוד יותר, כן? ששם המרכיב המשמעותי. כן? ואולי ככה דוגמה שיכולה להיות מאוד טובה לזה, זה אתגרים בחיים שלנו, כן? דברים שמאתגרים, שקשים, ולפעמים באיזשהו שלב, גם אם זה לא במיידי, אנחנו נוכל להרגיש שיש כאן משהו, כן? אפילו שהחוויה עצמה היא קשה, מאתגרת, כן? לא היינו בוחרות בה בשביל אף אחת אחרת, כן? ובכל זאת יש משהו שיכול להיות להביא סיפוק ולהביא תחושת משמעות באופן שאנחנו מסתכלות ומתייחסות. אז זה כאילו מהפוך. כן? זה ככה ברור? Okay, still not completely.
So I'm going to say more after Zara. Yeah. This was just actually Top. Supposed to be just a couple of moments.
Okay, I'm going to pass back to you.
So as always, good to laugh. Yeah, good to laugh with these things. But thanks Zara for sharing that. So what we could say, do you know that the Buddha was really keen on a thing called the middle way? Yeah. And there are many, many ways that might get expressed. Yeah. So there could be... So one of the good examples that's given is that you may know the Buddha grew up, apparently, living in a palace, getting all the kind of... all the desires you could ever want, that money could buy, you know, all of those things, and realize, actually, that didn't make me happy. It didn't make me lastingly happy. And then follows this other way of life of, like, you know, live with nothing, eat one grain of rice a day, and starve yourself, and hold your breath for as long as possible, put the body through racking, painful experiences, and realizing, actually, that also didn't make me happy, which was probably quite a big surprise. I'm sure some of you are thinking, oh. And then he, you know, finds this middle way between those ways of relating, not indulgence and you know, getting ourselves heavy and tired out of kind of seeking pleasure all the time, and not bringing ourselves to kind of painful, disturbing, agitating states of heart and mind through deprivation, yeah, through denial. But, you know, if we look at the Buddha's life, it's actually quite a lot of renunciation in there. Yeah, a lot of giving up of a lot of things that we might, you know, seek and feel are important. But actually finding that middle way was what was happening in all of these teachings. Unsatisfactory is a middle way between satisfaction and dissatisfaction. It's a middle point. Okay, so kind of just bearing that in mind. If we feel that we're starting to hear everything's worthless, everything's worthless. That is not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. Yeah. And it's not that, you know, everything's the same. If everything's the same, it doesn't matter what happens to me. You know, health, illness, you know, you understanding me or not, it's all unsatisfactory. Whether you get it or not, I don't care. Why would I care? You know. We're not saying that. We're not saying we don't care. We're not saying we don't love. Yeah. We're not saying that there isn't skillfulness, wholesomeness, beauty, and that we should be in the service of those things. But very quickly, we project onto that, that that's what actually brings happiness, peacefulness, contentment, well-being. You know, we use that example with, you know, taking the dress off the shop, you know. It's not in the dress. It's also not in the role. Yeah. It's not in the recognition. It's not in all of that. It comes from something else. It's perhaps in the way that we relate. And so this is a teaching which is helping us to unhook from unhelpful ways of relating. Yeah. And again, just remembering, this is optional. Yeah, you can do it if you want, not do it if you don't want. Yeah. But we're definitely not saying life is meaningless. Yeah. We can have a meaningful life. Yeah, we can have a meaningful life by following our deepest values, by following our most skillful, wholesome intentions. Yeah, we can create meaning in our existence. So this teaching, it kind of helps us to relate in a more skillful way. Yeah. The C, actually, it's in the dropping of the demand where the happiness starts to come through. Yeah. The dropping of that push and pull on things. Yeah. So in a way, it's really not a rejection. I'd be really happy if you do look at me as being an unsatisfactory being. Yeah. Don't look for satisfaction over here, you know? And that, so much lighter for me to feel that way, yeah? Or this talk, or this practice, yeah? These teachings, they're actually unsatisfactory. But we can relate to them in ways. We can relate to beings, we can relate to teachings, relate to phenomena in more and more skillful ways. So as a practice, we can start with things that, yeah, I really notice. Let's say, like, I notice that something's anicca. And I also recognize I'm looking for lasting happiness and well-being. So it's not going to be in that, is it? Because it's anicca. Yeah. Or I notice that Vedana leads to reactivity, you know, and even like getting the nice things is actually all gets tighter, and it's where I say, ah, they're unsatisfactory. But this practice can actually extend beyond that, yeah? Not just things that we already notice that I'm greedy about, or I'm aversive about, or I'm, you know, grabbing onto. I can start just saying, anything's unsatisfactory. Anything's unsatisfactory. Oh, let go around that. Really interesting to kind of see. I didn't realize I was grabbing onto that bird chatter. Yeah, that's unsatisfactory. It doesn't mean, yeah, it's not rejection. Not pulling towards, just, oh yeah, the palm of attention opens. It's not satisfactory. Yeah. And that feeling inside can be, oh, it's actually quite delightful to listen to it that way. Yeah. Whenever something pops into your attention, there is a little bit of greed and aversion. You know, very subtle. It's, I want to hear that. Do you notice? It's, oh, I'm going to listen to that. And this is just that invitation. Ah, oh, that's unsatisfactory. So another way you could say is, let's meet it more peacefully. Not demanding of something, not demanding something from it, or not demanding that it goes. Yeah. So we have this range. That's what I want to kind of give that sense of. And certainly we can bring it towards the things that we've already really gotten entangled in. So let's say, you know, we talked about distraction, being pulled apart in the meditation, you know, pulled off into here, away from the body, heart, mind, attention, maybe like jumping all over the place, not steadied, not gathered, not harmonious. And when that happens, we can just drop in, ah, it's unsatisfactory. That's unsatisfactory. And come back to something that's more supportive, more gathered, yeah, more beautiful. So we use this word satisfactory, you know, and we're kind of playing with that a little bit. I think it might be worth kind of just mentioning various qualities of satisfaction that we can kind of feel in our life, you know, that feeling of getting what we want. Yeah. So if someone said to you, oh, we're going to have something really, you know, tasty in a minute, maybe it'll have lots of fat and sugar. Maybe that's not a good way to sell it, but I don't want to mention something particular to cause you difficulty, you know. It's like, oh, whatever it is, those kind of delights that we would, like, walk past the shop and it's like, maybe I'll give myself a treat, you know, you're going to have something nice. And a little excitement kind of rises up, yeah. Kind of know that experience, that, oh. And that's a kind of satisfaction we can get. I feel it kind of up around here. You kind of tune into the energy of it, it's like, you know, brain gets excited, mind gets excited. Oh, well, can't wait to get some of that. And then there's kind of like this a little bit lower kind of feeling. Might call, you know, more like the happiness feeling of things. Yeah, where, yeah, I just feel good. You know, I just feel good to be here. Yeah, and it kind of like comes down this level. So, yeah, I'm enjoying. I don't know where you'd put that, a little bit like lower down around the, yeah, kind of feel that it kind of goes down into the being, into the body a little bit more. There can also be this kind of contentment, you know, when you're just kind of, maybe like nothing much is happening, but you're with, you're in an environment that you enjoy, or you're with people that you feel comfortable with, and something just softens, opens out, like a, what we might call a contentment, like a more deeper kind of satisfaction. It's not because you're getting or getting rid of things, it's just like, yeah, this is kind of just nice. It's kind of nice. And maybe as a younger person, it was all about the excitement. As we get older, maybe it's more about like, oh, it's just nice to be kind of chilled and relaxed among people and kind of feel safe and able to open. And then we could say in the meditation sometimes, something actually opens that's even a little bit more kind of deeper than that. It's like a peacefulness comes. Really not needing to move into anything else, not even needing to pay attention to something nice or not nice, not even needing to kind of feel safe or not safe. It's like things really, really, really quieten down. Yeah. As we go down this list, I think we also kind of, some of us will feel somatically, like through the body, it's like, oh, it's all actually softening and deepening down, or we can imagine it is, in a sense. Yeah. Also, what goes along with that is less and less demand. Yeah, less and less demand, less and less construction of the self. Yeah, through all of that excitement, who's going to get it? Oh, I hope there's enough. If I get there early, maybe I'll get extra. And then the happiness, just like, oh yeah, this is nice, but I hope it goes on for longer. And then that kind of calmer qualities, it's just like, this is okay. Just as it is, even if this is all there is, that's good, it's okay. And then peacefulness, fading down through the demanding, fading down through even the sense of things kind of fades down through that. Yeah. So we can play with different levels of satisfaction through our experience, and we can see how far we want to go and what we want to let go of. But we could say, even when there's happiness, if we were to say, even that's unsatisfactory, what sometimes happens is we drop down into like a deeper contentment. And if in that contentment we actually say, but even this isn't peaceful, and the Buddha would often say, yeah, that's not peaceful, but there is a peacefulness available. It's like, ooh. And maybe just saying that has a certain power, noting that, saying it to ourselves, encourages us a little more letting go, and we can give ourselves a longer lasting kind of release. Because not only does the demand go down, but actually the length that things last. Yeah, excitement is like a firework. Pow, poof. Peacefulness really extends out. Longer lasting well-being. And in a way, that's kind of the direction we're going. So kind of coming back a little bit to the earlier point, I would almost kind of call this like troubleshooting the meditation. Oh, it's not working for me. Troubleshooting. It's like when you frequently asked questions, that kind of thing. You know, it's like... Anyway, it doesn't matter because I'm going to tell you what they are anyway. Like someone might feel, you know, it doesn't feel right to like say, turn towards my lovely family and friends and call them unsatisfactory. Yeah, it feels a bit insulting still. Or to say, you know, they're not peaceful. I think it's great, you know, if you love your family and friends and you don't want to say that, it's absolutely fine, you don't have to. But the question would be, is, has that set a boundary for the heart? So I love these beings, but maybe, can you love more beings? Yeah, can you love more beings? Could you perhaps love more wholeheartedly if you weren't looking for satisfaction from them? That's what we're talking about, is just loving them but not saying, I love you because you bring me satisfaction. It's not a trade, our love for other beings, right? It's not an exchange. It's like, you make me satisfied and I'll give you a bag of love, and if tomorrow you stop giving me my satisfaction, then I'll put my love somewhere else. That's the secret deal. Yeah, so it's much lighter. And if we also just take a moment just to reflect on that sense of maybe the love we feel or the kindness we feel, the metta, for example, you know, wants to go to all beings. It wants to go to all beings. It doesn't want to be, you know, only sent down certain routes. And you can kind of start to feel that in its nature. When it comes through, it's not, you know, oh, this is for this person, obviously. You know, it's actually for all beings. It's all beings. It's kind of in its nature. So when we say all beings, what does that mean? I think it's an important little question to have in our minds. And we'll touch into this a little bit more through the metta practices today. But just checking, like, is there a boundary? My circle of friends, they get my kindness, my peacefulness, my generosity. Another way of asking the question is, like, who's not in the gang? Yeah, who's not included? Is there a sense that some beings deserve our love, our kindness, our compassion, our appreciation, our spaciousness? Yeah. In a certain way, we could just like drop in a concept that actually, who's our family? Who is our family or friends? I don't know, maybe all expressions of life, we share quite a lot with them, don't we, actually? We really are kind of all brothers and sisters, really, in quite a lovely way, with everything that's living. And in a certain way, with everything that's ever lived. Yeah, could hold that sense of things. And that's not to say there aren't still some special beings who you know better or, you know, feel a deeper connection with. But maybe we're in a family or friendship relationship with all beings everywhere that have ever existed and will ever exist. We're all just participants in this expression of life. It's mysterious, unfolding, who knows where it came from, who knows where it's going. And something opens in that. Same kind of flavor through this practice. Same kind of flavor. Maybe anything we can kind of open to in this way. And, you know, this can extend, you know, even beyond beings, even to the thoughts, feelings, sensations that arise for us. They're also part of our family of appearances, yeah. And you might want to offer metta practice to them, and we'll actually try that out in the afternoon. And yeah, you can just see how far you want to take this. You know, some of us take it too far. I've been known to be sending metta to bicycles that have been locked up in the city. You know, so, oh, poor thing. Maybe well. You know, or that crooked lamppost over there. Oh, it's so sweet. But, you know, Go with what feels helpful for you. And just remembering, we can really play, you know, we can really be creative with our practice. And sometimes the satisfaction quality, you know, will be tied around a sense of happiness. Let me know it, yeah. But sometimes you can go deeper through that contentment into that peacefulness. And it might be helpful, rather than saying that something's unsatisfactory, it might work better for us to say, this isn't peaceful. But there is a peacefulness possible for me. There is a peacefulness possible here. And just seeing if just through that kind of thought, that word, can drop us into something. So it's still going to be really important through the day to support ourselves through practices that we enjoy and support calmness and steadiness. Maybe that's, you know, breathing, the sounds, steadying the heart mind, bringing us all together into the present experience, practicing with metta. Yeah. So most of the time still doing that. Most of the time still doing that. But when it feels helpful, we can just drop that in. As we said, we might just do it just to the distractions. Oh, unsatisfactory. And we let go of that, come back. But we might at times just want to drop it in, even to nice, pleasant, meditative states. is unsatisfactory. This is not peaceful. It's not the most peaceful I could be. Just encourage a little bit more. And really important to remember, if we say that something's unsatisfactory, it doesn't mean it has to go. It doesn't mean it has to disappear. Yeah. It may disappear many times. It may just fade away because it was that. It's kind of holding it in place. But letting in, letting be, letting go. Okay, so let's take a bit of time for bringing this into a direct practice. See how that unfolds, and then we'll open to some more questions if you have any. So feeling into what feels like a good posture for you, and seeing if we can guide the attention to sensitively get to know what's present here in the body sensations of breath, in the rising, passing of sound. Your kind attention, sensitive attention to what's here and gone. you notice your attention is gripped onto anything, it's holding on, pushing away. Just notice how it is to open the palm of attention, letting it flow, also letting ourselves be a little more peaceful. So we're changing the way we're relating to things. It's actually the way of relating that we're going to notice first is sometimes unsatisfactory. This pushing, this pulling. Doesn't bring satisfaction. When we notice that attention is meeting with any sense of reactivity, any sense of demand, unsatisfactory, it's not peaceful. See if we can let go of that. Let things be welcomed into attention and also released, being more spacious. The attention with the awareness, less demand. this first way of practicing is just seeing the unsatisfactoriness of the habitual reactivity and grabbing onto things in attention. Even very subtly, there's a grabbing, holding in attention, keeping in attention. And that can soften. But another way is just to notice there's an assumption that there's some satisfaction in this object, in this appearance, in this phenomena. How is it just to lightly and lovingly say, this is unsatisfactory, there's not happiness in this, there's not peacefulness in the thing. And then again, letting it be, letting it appear, letting it go. Just as a phenomena's empty of Vedana, it doesn't have its own Vedana, we project that onto it. We also project on satisfaction, dissatisfaction. It might appear a fly landing on the face is unpleasant, dissatisfying. It's actually unsatisfactory. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It just depends how you meet it. You can see a fly coming and giving a very small massage. It's quite pleasant. It's actually unsatisfactory. whenever you notice any tightening, just regard either the way we're relating or the phenomena itself, empty of satisfaction, unsatisfactory. Noticing what happens to the being, sense of self, sense of time, sense of space. And if it's more enjoyable, we can enjoy it. Let it expand, let it soften more. And sometimes we can also see that and say, this too is unsatisfactory. We let that go, let that be, let that go. Not demand onto that even. This is not peaceful, not the most peaceful. I could be more peaceful. This is not peaceful. Just letting that land, it's not a rejection. It's an invitation. To be more peaceful. hopefully. Some of that feels like it can land. It can be something we can introduce into the practice. It can also be something that we really follow and flow with.